Chapter 10. How a Leaf Can Return to Its Tree. Zack didn't sleep well. He dreamed of all kinds of terrible things. Swords clashing, fields burning, people screaming and running. Him huddling in a sullen palace chamber of dark wood and cold bronze. Oil lamps flickering at the edges of his vision. His mom shrieking as she got torn apart piece by piece. He was beyond relieved when Simon woke him in the morning, and the nightmares fell away to reality, even though reality was pretty stressful too. But as Zack rolled out of bed, he couldn't shake the feeling that he'd forgotten something. Something important among the mess of war and suffering. Someone telling him a secret? He kept trying to remember as he washed up, and then stuffed his few belongings into a backpack Simon had given him, made of thick, waterproof material, but had no luck. He just hauled the backpack out of his room. "Hey!" Simon beckoned to Zack from a couch in the fancy living room. He gestured to something on the coffee table that looked like huge skiing goggles. "Here's something you'll need for the next part of the mission. You should keep it on top of the rest of your things for easy access." Upon picking the goggles up, their black rubber straps flopping against his hands, Zack recognized them as XY Technologies diving extension, made so you could see clearly underwater while using a portal lens. "Are we going swimming or something?" Simon rocked his head side to side.
"Eventually. Hopefully."
"What do you mean? Where are we going today?"
"A city up north, Qinhuangdao, which literally means Qin Emperor Island. It was the place where Qin Shi Huang sent out a fleet of ships into the Pacific in search for Peng Lai."
"Peng Lai?" Simon blinked. Clearly this was yet another thing that was common knowledge to every Chinese person except Zack.
"Right. It's this famous mythical island where Taoist sages cultivate magical pills that can grant immortality. We're gonna go there and hopefully get some, because otherwise, there's no way we can survive the trip to where we actually need to go, which is the Dragon Palace of the East Sea."
Just when Zack thought he was getting used to this whole supernatural mission, Simon had to go ahead and bring in mythical islands and immortality pills and dragon palaces. Zack just stared blankly at Simon so he'd keep explaining.
"Okay, so the ultimate thing we need to find is something called the Heirloom Seal of the Realm."
Simon went into history professor mode.
"It's the only artifact that'd be powerful enough to reinforce the portal plug. It was an imperial stamp that Qin Shi Huang had carved out of the He Shi Bi, an already legendary piece of jade. For over 1,000 years after that, it was the symbol of ultimate authority over China, and passed through the hands of hundreds of emperors, including Wu Zetian and Tang Taizong. That makes it connected to all their magic, so it'd be unimaginably powerful in the hands of a legendary emperor. It was lost to war around 700 years ago, but the emperors have reliable intel that it ended up in the Pacific Ocean, where the Dragon King of the East Sea plucked it into his treasure chamber. So we'll have to take a deep dive to heist it."
Zack decided to just accept the fact that there was apparently a Dragon King that ruled a part of the Pacific.
"But we'll have to be immortal for it?"
"Duh."
Melissa's door banged open.
"None of our emperors have any magic that could keep us alive at the bottom of the ocean. I'm pretty sure you can't even take a submarine that deep."
Zack gaped at her messy bedhead and unwashed face. He didn't think she was capable of looking so casual. The intricate silver bracelets on her arms were the only indication that she was the same girl he had met yesterday. She slogged to the kitchen in an oversized t-shirt, pajama pants, and fuzzy bunny slippers.
Ugh, it's too early for this.
She opened the fridge and pulled out a glass bottle of yogurt.
Nell, Simon chided. It's already 9 a.m.
Already?
She balked at him, then shook her head.
This is why our marriage never worked out.
Marriage?
Zack's voice shot way too high.
Ignore her,
Simon spluttered, waving his hands.
Sometimes she likes to pretend we're actually Tang Taizong and Wu Zetian. This is why you didn't get custody of the kids,
Melissa deadpanned, while stabbing a thin straw into the foil lid of her yogurt.
Tang Taizong and Wu Zetian didn't even have kids together.
Zack let out an awkward laugh, but something sank in his heart when he noticed the color blooming across Simon's cheeks. Did Simon like Melissa? Zack wouldn't be surprised. Melissa was very pretty, even without any makeup and with hair like a chicken's nest. And she was fearless and confident. And a girl. Boys liked girls. That was how most of the world went. As Melissa went back to her room, Zack cleared his throat.
So, how are the immortality pills supposed to work? We're not actually going to end up living forever, are we?
No, Simon shook his head. It's immortality, as in, we'll not die because of mortal reasons. The Emperor's plan on asking for pills that'll take effect for one day, and during that day, we won't need to breathe and won't be affected by the cold or the water pressure. But if one of the Dragon King's soldiers stabbed a spirit spear into us, we could still get hurt or die. So, we'll have to be careful. It's good that XY Technologies makes these diving extensions, so you'll still have access to Qin Shi Huang.
Ah, I bet they'd regret making these if they found out we were using them for our mission.
Zack stuffed the goggles into his backpack, remembering the whole reason Jason Shen started his company was to power up spirits so they could bust the portal open.
Wait, XY Technologies isn't going to come after us, are they?
Oh, Jason Shen is definitely watching our every move, Simon said. But he can't do too much about us. It's not like his whole company knows or would believe he's connected to the Yellow Emperor, especially when he can't use any magic to prove it. He would just look weird and petty, going after a bunch of kids. He couldn't even stop me from winning his championship, remember? So it'll just be the Yellow Emperor influencing more spirits to attack us, and we'll just have to deal with them as they come.
Great, Zack muttered. There was still a part of him that was sad to have Jason Shen as an enemy, but at least he wouldn't have to fight his former idol directly. After Melissa reemerged, looking like a pop star again, hair smoothed into her signature ponytail and all skin blemishes erased, she knocked on Ya Ling's room to call her out as well. Then their whole group went out for breakfast. It made Zack instinctively anxious, since he and his mom could never afford to go out for food, but Simon assured him that he didn't need to worry. Zack was touched to discover that Simon had picked a halal restaurant. They meandered through a small street to get there. Traffic moved slowly through the hot, stuffy air. Cars rasped down the middle of the narrow road, while bikes and motorcycles nudged past pedestrians on the sides by beeping and honking. Chinese people were certainly not shy with their horns. Sweat collected under Zack's backpack straps. He had to wear it over one shoulder, like he was trying too hard to look cool. He saw, heard, and smelled many things for the first time, including real cicadas chirping. A street vendor was selling them in stacks of tiny woven cages. The prices for them hovered in the common AR field. When the vendor caught Zack staring, she beckoned and called at him. Zack hurried onward, awkward. With every step he took, he imagined his parents walking the same path years and years ago. Had the sights and sounds and smells filled them with love or hate? Zack hadn't expected to like much about China, but as they passed a street vendor plopping batter onto a sizzling grill behind the greasy glass of her cart,
His stomach grumbled with a certainty that whatever it was, it would be delicious to try. And the general atmosphere of the street. It was undeniably chaotic, yet there was something comforting about the hustle and bustle, like it was proof of how vibrant life can be. Once they got to the restaurant, which had the Arabic for halal in surprisingly large green type on its overhead sign, they sat down around a table with a sticky linoleum top. A greasy air conditioner unit blasted tirelessly above them, a ribbon flapping from its vent. Two other tables were taken, one by a grandma feeding her granddaughter, and the other by a stylishly dressed young couple laughing as they arranged their food and snapped photos of it. Simon beamed while passing along a stack of laminated menus tucked between the grimy wall and several sauce containers on the table.
In Asia, if you want good food, you don't go to the fancy five-star restaurants. You go to tiny places like this or get street food.
He translated the menu for Zach, then Ya Ling went to the counter to order for everyone. It was clearly a family-run restaurant, and Zach was startled to see how visibly Muslim they were. The dad, wearing a white taqiya cap, pulling and stretching noodles behind a glass screen. The hijabi mom ladling a clear broth into wide bowls. The teenage son taking Ya Ling's order. Zach knew the degree of oppression that Muslims faced in China varied widely by region, with it being much worse in the West than here in the very East. But he had still somehow grown up with the mental image that the Chinese government jailed every single Muslim they spotted. That clearly wasn't the case. Now Zach couldn't help but imagine his family running a little shop like this in some alternate universe where his dad had never spoken up against the government. Unlike in most other countries, his mom would have even had the freedom to become an imam, or ahong, as they were called in Mandarin. Hui Muslims were unique in maintaining a tradition of female-led mosques, which Zach's mom, being a Muslim feminist who followed a more liberal view of the Quran, often boasted about. If Zach's family had simply stayed in the East and kept out of trouble's way, they could have lived in peace. Zach knew it was never wrong to speak out against tyranny. Someone always had to. But sometimes he wondered why it had to be his family. Why did they have to be the ones to have taken the risk and lost everything for it? Zach? Simon touched his shoulder. Huh? Zach whipped to attention. You okay? Was just thinking about my mom. Zach tossed out a half-lie. Wishing his parents had kept silent in the face of oppression was too selfish a thought to admit out loud. Simon and Melissa went stiff. They suddenly looked very guilty, which made Zach guilty for making the mood awkward again. Thankfully, Ya Ling started ferrying their order over right then. Plastic-wrapped plates of spice-drenched kebabs and four bowls of lanzhou beef noodles, the signature dish of Hui people. Zach's mom made it all the time, and just like when she'd make it, the broth that bathed the heap of thin noodles was clear yet full of flavor and fragrance. A first, real taste of home in this country that was supposed to be Zach's homeland. Though his mom would use thicker slices of beef and more of them, now he really was thinking about her, and he pretended to concentrate on slurping to hide the tears budding in his eyes. Per her habit of not joining their conversations, Ya Ling popped her earbuds in and listened to her music at a concerning volume. Meanwhile, Simon traced the intricate blue patterns on his noodle bowl and launched into a story of how the cobalt blue pigment had been brought to China by Islamic traders, and how the blue and white look iconic to Chinese porcelain was actually created for the Middle Eastern market before it got popular in China itself. Melissa chimed in with explanations of how trade between East and West had flourished during the Yuan Dynasty, when the Mongols had taken over everything and basically forced everyone to intermingle.
Your Hui ancestors probably came to China then, Zach, she quirked a neatly penciled brow. Or maybe earlier. A lot of traders came in the Tang Dynasty too. Fun fact, the first mosque in China was built during the reign of Wu Zetian's second husband.
Do you have to make everything about Wu Zutian? Simon snapped his chopsticks playfully near Melissa's face.
Hey, can I help it if she was involved in so much important stuff?
Melissa retaliated with a slight shove. Zack cracked a smile, but an unexpected pit twisted open in his gut. Teasing was a natural part of friendships, so he'd laughed along when his friends had done it to him. But it wasn't until now that he realized how strange it was that he never felt comfortable doing the same to them. He'd always been too afraid of upsetting them or losing them. It was never equal, like Simon and Melissa were. They were both unreserved with each other, instead of enduring jabs so the other would stick around. Melissa turned back to Zack.
Anyway, I think it's great that you're carrying on your traditions. We gotta let the world know there's more to being Chinese than being Han. I'm Miao, actually.
She showed Zack a picture on her phone. It was her standing in a rural village, wearing a colorfully embroidered tunic and pleated skirt, along with a gorgeous silver headdress as elaborate as a chandelier.
Whoa,
Zack said unconsciously. He had truly never seen a headdress that impressive.
We Miao people pride ourselves on our silver work.
Melissa flashed her bracelets, which had patterns of flowers and butterflies hammered into the silver.
And we dance and sing really well, too. Part of the reason I want to be a pop star is to bring our traditional music and dances to the world stage, you know? On my own terms, with my own look. Not what the government decides I should do or act like. We shouldn't let this stuff die out.
Yeah, of course not. Zack grinned, a lightness rising through him like helium. Melissa was the first other Chinese minority his age that he had met. At least, the first to specifically tell him she wasn't Han. Finally, here was someone who got him. Got how he could be both Chinese and yet not the typical Han Chinese, sharing some traditions with the Han, yet diverging on others in their unique, major ways. Somehow, sitting here in this tiny restaurant while eating Lanzhou noodles from his blue-patterned porcelain bowl, it was the most connected to his Muslim heritage that Zack had ever felt. Usually, he kept it to himself, never mentioning or talking about it. It was yet another thing different about him. Different from even other Muslims he saw in the media or met in real life. He didn't fit most people's idea of one. But of course, with over a billion Muslims in the world, there were bound to be big differences. In second grade, when a teacher had asked if he was going to partake in Ramadan, he hadn't even known what she was talking about, because his mom just called it the Zai Yue, literally fasting month in Mandarin. Zack's identity had always been a chore to explain to people, but Simon and Melissa understood him without needing him to elaborate. It was as if he'd been drifting as a lone leaf for his whole life, only to have found the tree he'd come from. It made him comfortable enough to finally ask something potentially sensitive that had been hovering at the back of his mind.
So, guys, Zack leaned in over the table. I'm sorry if this is a weird question, but if the Chinese underworld exists, and so do Chinese gods, then does that mean other religions are...
Simon and Melissa threw each other an alarmed look. Then both seemed to descend into deep thought. Simon drummed his fingers on the table.
I wouldn't say it disproves other religions. Like, even if you just go by the standards of Chinese myth, there's nothing in it that makes you deny everything else. It's got stuff from Taoism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and local gods from all over the place. Nothing stops everything from existing at once. King Yanluo, the current ruler of our underworld, was originally the Hindu god King Yama, Melissa added.
How does that work? Zack tilted his head. So, did gods create everything? Or are they just... human imagination come to life? Simon chewed his lip, then said,
Well, personally, I believe the gods are real forces in the universe, but human belief is what gathers them into forms that make sense to us. So the gods are like water, but our minds are different shapes of cups.
He tapped the glass of water beside his noodles, then suddenly threw his hands up in defense.
We don't know anything for sure, though. Not even the emperors do.
Yeah, 'cause spirit stuff works in very weird ways, Melissa said.
Spirits are kept strong and whole because of legends. But legends can get muddled. There's this pretty popular rumor that Wu Zetian killed her baby daughter to frame the empress before her and take her place. I don't believe she did it. It only popped up in history books long after she died. But when I asked her if she did, she said she honestly didn't know. She has phantom memories of doing it, but they're a mix of different scenes from TV shows. She doesn't even remember what she looked like, really. She sees herself as a blend of different actresses. She was definitely stunning, though.
Melissa fanned her fingers beside her own face. She really did fall too deep into the Wu Zetian stuff sometimes.
But the things spirits do can also influence human stories, Simon said. Like Tang Taizong says King Yang Luo actually barged into the Chinese underworld and vanquished Hou Tu, the previous native Chinese ruler. There aren't any explicit legends about this, but it did make Hou Tu fade from popular belief. And only afterward did Chinese people start telling stories about King Yang Luo. And that's how his power was cemented.
Zack considered this. So spirits can be affected by the stories that humans come up with, but the spirits can also influence the stories humans tell?
Exactly, Simon nodded. It goes both ways, and it's not always clear which came first.
Wait, so what happened when I vanquished Jin Ke and Gao Zhangli? What happened to their spirits?
They scattered. Their legends are strong, so they'll gather again, but they'll only have what lasted in their legends. No memories of anything that didn't make it into the cultural consciousness. So they won't even remember attacking us.
Jin Ke will probably respawn in the underworld pretty soon, Melissa added.
He's way too famous. Gao Zhangli is less popular, so he might take longer, but he's not so obscure that he'll disappear forever. Hopefully they won't get sent our way again before we finish the mission.
Oh, man, Zack rubbed his temples. This is so much.
I know, dude. Simon patted him on the back. We stopped trying to decide what's real or not real a long time ago. So believe what you want. It just might be true, or become true.
I want to say one thing, though,
Melissa said, uncharacteristically serious and quiet.
You're not wrong for believing whatever you believe in. And what the government is doing to Muslims is something Wu Zetian and Tang Taizong would totally not have stood for. The Tang Dynasty under them was one of the most diverse and tolerant empires in the world, and they were proud of it. They celebrated every race and religion. Wu Zetian literally has 61 statues at her mausoleum to honor foreign ambassadors. They're still there. This, right now,
she looked beyond the restaurant's glass doors.
It's not Chinese culture.
Another wave of tears surged in Zack's eyes. He swallowed through a lump in his throat, trying his best to look nonchalant. And what about Qin Shi Huang?
He knew who your parents were, and he still chose you. What do you think?
Something quivered deep inside Zack.
Let me tell you a story, boy. A story about how you and I are not so different.
He probably had no other choice. Zack laughed it off while pretending to scratch his eyes so he could dry them. But he smiled at Melissa. He was so glad she'd stopped being mad at him after the successful museum heist. Thanks, though. She shrugged, but smiled back.
Just telling it how it is.
Chapter 11. How Your Ancestor Can Be a Bird. It was a two-hour flight from Shanghai to Qinhuangdao, from central China to northern China. Zack stared out the window for most of it, watching cities and landscape pass beneath the clouds, trying to picture how they looked from ground level. Once they landed, they had a few hours to kill before boarding a cruise for the night. This area apparently had a lot of spirits, and they'd be dangerously exposed during the trip out to sea if they rented a boat for themselves. But on a ship full of people, the spirits would have a harder time sensing them. Then, all they had to do was steal a lifeboat and take off at the farthest point in the cruise's journey. It said something about Zack's life now that he only resisted this idea for about 2 seconds. They used their pre-cruise time to visit a bunch of historical attractions to strengthen their connection to legend magic. This included the old Dragon's Head, where the Great Wall's eastern end stretched into the sea over a beach crowded with tourists. Zack's portal lens gave a brief history of it. From a distance, it really did look like a pixel rendition of a Chinese dragon, with its horns being formed by a square watchtower. It wasn't the original Great Wall built by Qin Shi Huang, but one built 500 years ago in the Ming Dynasty. When Zack squeezed through the crowd of tourists on top of it, it was peak travel season. The brick sides loomed taller than him. It was cool to look out at the sea at the very end through a gap meant for archers, imagining himself as a soldier in charge of defending the wall, but he only got a few seconds. So many people pressed up behind him that he felt bad hogging the spot for any longer. The beach itself was more relaxing. Their squad walked along it as the sun set in the west, cutting slits of shadow into the whooshing ocean waves. To Zack's relief, the weather was way cooler than Shanghai. Cawing seagulls flapped against the reddening sky and dust-scorched clouds. There was a commotion as a tour group of middle-aged women started digging up clams. Melissa excitedly joined them. Simon went to stop her because, "That's probably against the beach rules." While Ya Ling took selfies of herself flexing her biceps in front of the sunset. Zack wandered to the shifting tide line by himself. He poked a sandaled foot into the frothy water when it rolled close, then immediately jerked it back. It was freezing cold. Too bad. Something about the ocean called for him to dive in, as if every rolling wave had a magnetic pull. He had felt this way all his life, before he ever got water powers. Though back in America, that ocean had been the Atlantic. He visualized the globe in his head. He was now at almost the opposite side of the Earth. A memory flew back to him, of one time when he and his mom had gone to the beach and a man had passed by him while he was digging in the sand and teased him about whether he was trying to dig back to China. Zack didn't remember the man's face, only the flush of self-consciousness he'd felt and how quickly it had made him stop digging. Funny that he'd ended up in China anyway.
"This was the edge of the world for the longest time, you know,"
Qin Shi Huang suddenly said, virtually appearing beside Zack.
"Your precious Alexander dreamed of making it here and seeing it for himself. I did as well. Our people, the House of Ying, were once people of the East Sea. We originated on these shores. Our ancestor was Lady Xiu, great-granddaughter of the Yellow Emperor, who gave birth to our lineage after swallowing an egg from a black bird."
He raised his hand before himself. Virtual polygons glimmered above his palm, stitching out a black bird that looked like it had been blown out of smoke. Zack opened his mouth to question how a lady could get pregnant from a bird, but decided he'd heard weirder origin stories and myths. They never seemed willing to talk about how babies were actually made.
"Her grandson, Bo Yi, became the Minister of Animal Husbandry for the mythical King Xuan," Our people have a tradition of being good with animals, particularly horses and birds. Not only that, but Boyi helped the famous Yu the Great tame China's own Great Flood by digging canals and creating irrigation pathways.
The black bird morphed into a shadowy figure digging with a shovel. Then the shovel shifted into a billowing flag that the figure lifted above his head.
For his achievements, King Shun granted Boyi a black flag and the family name of Ying, which means to win.
The figure swirled into that character, written in Qing Dynasty Chinese, which Zack had been able to understand ever since he'd touched Shangyang's measuring vessel. Chills raced over his arms. These were the kinds of stories he wished he'd been told as a kid. His mom was more interested in the future than the past. But would his dad have been different? If they'd raised him together, how much more of his heritage would he have known about and understood? The existence of legend magic proved that there was power in passing down tales, in being remembered. Zack wondered how many more generations of his ancestors were watching over him. Had they been proud when he'd carried their bloodline to the shore of a whole other ocean? Had they been grieving over how he had no idea who they were until now? Zack peered at the construct in Qin Shi Huang's hand, pretending it was his dad who was continuing to tell him this legend.
Since the throne was passed on by capability back then, Yu the Great became the next king, and Boyi was meant to be his successor. However, Yu's son defeated Boyi and took the throne for himself, thus creating China's first dynasty, Xia, and starting a tradition of passing the throne by bloodline instead. Our people were robbed of the chance to rule, but we persevered. Eventually, we became nobles of the second dynasty, Shang.
The individual parts of the complicated Ying character shifted into a line of shadowy people wearing heavy robes and tall hats, bowing with their hands clasped in front of themselves.
But our fortunes hit a new low when the Zhou dynasty overthrew the Shang. The Zhou exiled us to the farthest wilds in the west for the entire dynasty, the longest in Chinese history.
The line of people turned sideways, becoming hunchbacked peasants, lumbering with heavy loads of belongings on their backs.
800 years. It took us almost 800 years to see this ocean again.
The people swirled together into a black bird that cawed silently at the crashing waves. Qin Shi Huang lifted his chin higher.
I still remember my first view of it, like it was yesterday.
A salty-smelling wind ruffled through Zack's hair and brought a shiver over him. He wondered what it was like to achieve something like that, to take over your whole known world, to know you had no enemies left. Well, except death. Is it true that you shipped off a court sorcerer and 3,000 girls and boys to find the elixir of immortality? Zack asked. That was what a tour guide had said at a previous place, literally called Site Where Qin Shi Huang Sent Off His Search Fleet for Immortality. Though that had just been a tourist trap with a bunch of modern-made buildings.
It wasn't really kids on those ships, and not nearly that many. But it was indeed a large search party.
Qin Shi Huang laughed with surprising softness, eyelids drooping.
And it was true that they never came back. Shifu, the sorcerer, believed that someone like me should never have access to immortality. The joke's on him. I achieved immortality anyway. Just not in a way either of us expected.
He looked down at his virtual hands, then back up at the distant horizon, gaze sharpening.
So long as China lives, I will never be forgotten.
For a few moments, Zack forgot to breathe. A tide of surreality hit him, like his senses were being carried on a wave. What he understood of Qin Shi Huang so far was that he was a weird kind of founding father. He was definitely an impressive person who did a lot of impressive things. And everyone gave him credit for creating China as they knew it. Yet they also agreed that he was, to quote Tang Taizong once, the worst. It was like he'd shattered his world so completely that people had no choice but to accept the new reality. Zack was looking at history's most successful villain. So, is this your real selfish reason for saving China? Zack quipped. So you can stay an immortal legend?
It's a bonus perk.
Qin Shi Huang stared off across the expanse of orange-tinged waves, his black robes billowing in the ocean wind. No. Wait. Qin Shi Huang was virtual. The wind shouldn't have been affecting him. Are you making your robes do that on purpose? Qin Shi Huang screwed up his face, then shot Zack a dirty look.
Must you ruin my moment?
Can you even see the ocean if my portal lens isn't pointing at it? Zack swiveled his focus between the waves and Qin Shi Huang. How does this work? 'Cause you're just a projection, right?
I'm leaving it a digital mystery, Qin Shi Huang deadpanned.
After they boarded the cruise ship and stuffed themselves at the buffet, Zack had a lot of veggie dumplings and cold-served noodles. Yaling went to an adults-only cruise event, while Zack, Simon, and Melissa strolled aimlessly through the ship. There were mostly couples laughing and mingling with drinks in their hands. Zack wasn't sure their group would have even been allowed on if it weren't for Melissa's charm magic. Simon definitely got the short end of the stick when it came to superpowers. Fire magic, especially one that didn't let him make the fire on his own, wasn't that practical in real life when he didn't want to hurt anybody. He'd probably be really helpful during a barbecue, though. So what exactly does this mythical island look like? Zack peered over the moonlit ocean after they ended up on the top deck. Since the wind was so shrill up here, there were a lot less people than on the ship's bow, bathed in brighter lights below. Disco lights streamed through the windows and glass doors of a karaoke lounge behind them, accompanied by someone singing off-key to a loud R&B backing track.
The Emperor said they're not sure. They've never been there either.
Simon gazed out at the sea through a pair of binoculars. The ship sliced through the water, which rippled like a silky black sheet slashed with a million cuts of moonlight. A foghorn blew in the distance, low and long.
They haven't?
Zack raised his voice over the terrible karaoke and the nonstop squawking of seagulls in the fluttering wind. This area sure had a lot of seagulls.
The immortals on that island don't tend to like emperors very much. Melissa drew her jacket tighter around herself. They're Taoists. Their whole deal is that life shouldn't be taken seriously, and you should go along with the flow of the universe without caring too much. Because not caring is the only way to be free. That's what Tao means. The way.
But that's definitely not how emperors work.
Simon lowered his binoculars.
Especially strong-willed emperors, who are all about trying to take control of the universe. So, naturally, the immortals hide their island and secrets from them. A lot of big-name emperors have tried and failed to find Peng Lai.
Zack gawked at Simon and Melissa. So, there's no actual guarantee that we can find it?
Well, things are different this time.
Melissa leaned against the deck's railing, ponytail whipping in the wind.
They're doing it to save China. Not because they selfishly want to live forever. Hence why they'll only ask for one day of immortality for us. And they've got someone from the inside who's gonna be our spiritual GPS.
Li Bai,
Simon beamed while zipping his binoculars back in his waterproof backpack.
The greatest poet in Chinese history.
Have you heard of his poems?
Melissa asked Zack, as if demanding to know if he'd heard of a certain band. No.
Ugh, every kid in China knows his poems. Chuangqing Ming Yue Guang.
To Zack's amazement, Simon began to recite with her. A translation appeared as subtitles.
Moonlight spills before my bed, as if frost across the ground. I lift my head to gaze upon the moon. I lower my head
and yearn for home.
They finished in laughter. Man, that is a banger. Melissa high-fived Simon. Simon turned his grin to Zach.
Yeah. Anyway, he was pretty into Taoism, so his spirit drifted off to Penglai after he died. Legend says he drowned after trying to hug the moon's reflection in a river while drunk on a boat.
But if he's a Taoist and Taoists don't like emperors, why would he help us? Zach asked.
Because he lived during the Golden Age of China, yet watched it fall apart into war in just a few years. He really doesn't want something like that to happen again. And he's from the Tang Dynasty, so Tang Taizong can summon him once we get on a lifeboat.
Lifeboat? A sudden female voice spoke behind them. I wouldn't play on those children. They jumped. They were too used to not being understood when they chatted in English.
We were talking about a video game, Auntie.
Melissa reacted the fastest, pointing to her portal lens.
Really? What kind of video game? Can Auntie see?
The woman reached for Zach's portal lens.
Get back! Qin Shi Huang suddenly yelled from the speakers. She's being possessed by Lady Meng Jiang.
A tag appeared. Zach read it while darting out of her way. Lady Meng Jiang lived ? BCE. Protagonist of one of China's four great folk tales. Husband was conscripted to build a defense wall, but died during the process. She found out when delivering winter clothes to him, then cried so hard that part of the wall collapsed, revealing his bones. Story originated as a tale from Qi, one of the seven warring states, but is now associated with Qin Shi Huang and the Great Wall due to 2,000 years of ruthless slander.
You will never have me as a concubine, you vile, wicked tyrant!
Her expression warped in fury as she made another grab at Zach. Her eyes shone red. He bolted toward the karaoke lounge's glass door.
I swear, I've never met this woman in my life. She's entirely fictional.
Qin Shi Huang insisted over the sounds of Simon and Melissa calling their spirit weapons. Just when they raised them, Lady Meng Jiang screamed. Forceful sound waves struck Zach, rippling like water in the air. Not unlike Gao Jianli's music powers, but instead of preventing him from hearing other sounds, her voice made all strength leave his body. He tripped and tumbled across the deck until he landed over his backpack, stuffed full of clothes and chargers. The telltale coldness of Qin Shi Huang's power retreated from his limbs. The door was a single reach away, yet Zach's hand lay lifeless in the dithering light cast through the doorway, refusing to respond to him. His head lulled, just in time for him to catch Simon's and Melissa's weapons vanishing from their hands. They balked in confusion. The door opened, spilling a louder flood of karaoke music. People poked their heads out of the lounge, murmuring. The person on the mic stopped singing. A crewman pushed his way out and rushed to the still-screaming Lady Meng Jiang while questioning her in modern Mandarin, which Zach still couldn't understand. The crewman held his hands up as if approaching a rabid animal. A crewwoman crouched next to Zach, shaking his shoulder while also speaking Mandarin worriedly. The only answer he could manage was a long wheeze. Lady Meng Jiang's scream hitched. She coughed hoarsely.
Kids, you have to break free of the tyrants,
she rasped in ancient Chinese, so Zach understood.
They're deceiving you. They're going after the heirloom seal so they can resurrect Qin Shi Huang's terracotta army and rule the world again.
Memories rushed back to Zach, a cold, dark palace chamber, a long platform over a pool of blood and bones. A distressed voice calling for him.
Don't fall for his lies, my child.
If Zach hadn't already been paralyzed by Lady Meng Jiang's magic, he would have fallen stunned all the same. He became only faintly aware of being nudged and shaken by the crewwoman. As Lady Meng Jiang started screaming again, more crew members ran around Zach to charge at her. She must have looked very unhinged to regular people. The first crewman kept his hands up while pleading with her. Eyeing the incoming backup, she snatched the crewman's wrist. A second later, her eyes rolled back, and she collapsed.
Then the crewman whirled toward the onlookers and screamed with tunneling sound waves, as if bellowing a war cry.
His Russian colleagues jarred to a halt. His eyes shone yellow. Simon had told Zack that the colors depended on the type of chi in the host's body. There was a whole elemental system of wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, but apparently he didn't need to know it. Everyone else shrieked in terror, scrambling back into the lounge. To the immense credit of the crewwoman at Zack's side, she tried to take him with her, hoisting him under the arms like a cat.
Zack, our magic's being dampened, and we can't contact the emperors. We need to get to the lifeboats,
Simon shouted over the mass hysteria as he and Melissa dashed to him around Lady Mengjiang's hosts.
Zack, it's like he can't move at all.
Melissa's breath shortened with dread. She dropped down to drag Zack by his legs. The crewwoman exclaimed something in protest as Zack slipped from her grasp. Melissa clutched the woman's face, glared into her eyes, and demanded something in Mandarin. She waved an arm at the metal stairs leading to the decks below.
With a dazed look, the woman clumsily scooped Zack up as if he were a bride and lumbered toward the stairs.
Oh, thank God I still have enough magic to charm,
Melissa gasped, panting, racing ahead of the woman. The crew was still trying to handle their screaming, possessed colleague. When his voice grew hoarse, he grabbed one of their arms. Like passing on a virus, he slumped to the deck, while the new host wailed a fresh wave of magic at Zack's group. Simon had to help the crew woman from dropping Zack as they clanked down the spiral stairs. Zack wasn't heavy, but she was a small woman.
Why can't I move?
Zack slurred.
If I were to guess,
Simon yelled over the wailing,
Lady Mengjiang's legend magic weakens emperors. Since she's most associated with Qin Shi Huang, it's hitting you especially hard. Doesn't seem like she has any actual damage doing attacks, though.
Melissa glanced over her shoulder.
Lady Mengjiang's screaming kept an earshot, but she didn't actively chase them down the stairs.
Zack asked his next question with a nervous flutter in his belly.
Are the emperors really trying to rule the world again?
Oh, don't listen to her, Simon said. Legends like her are formed around hating emperors, so of course she believes the worst of them. Besides, Melissa added, if they were really trying to rule again, they wouldn't be working as a team. China can't have three emperors at once.
That reasoning actually made Zack feel a little better. Not enough to entirely wave away the unease in his gut, but better. He could always count on the emperors to be selfish. On the deck below, onlookers shuffled out of lounges and hordes, peering in bafflement toward the screaming above the stairs. They crowded against Zack's descending group, spewing questions.
How do we get rid of these people?
Melissa yelped.
There are too many to charm. Tell them there's a murderer on the loose, and we're taking Zack to the sick bay,
Simon suggested.
Then they'll definitely want off the ship. We can't have them rushing to the lifeboats, too. I'm just going to...
Melissa swung her backpack in front of herself and dug out her spray bottle of Meng Po broth. Echoing Lady Mengjiang's wail, she sprayed the front of the crowd as if peppering them with bullets. They reacted with a level of bewilderment that could only come with losing the past hour of their memories and having no idea why they were suddenly here. Their panic infected the rest of the crowd, which collectively ran away from Melissa, footsteps thundering across the deck.
Stealing Lady Mengjiang's strategy of freaking people out, Simon remarked. Nice. You're welcome.
Melissa spun to rip Simon's spray bottle out of his backpack as well. The crewwoman carrying Zack blurted something in wakening confusion. Melissa said what must have been a Mandarin bad word under her breath, then looked her in the eye to charm her again. It worked. The woman hauled Zack down the next level of stairs, with Simon helping.
This should be the deck with the lifeboats,
Simon said. There was less of a crowd. Restarting her war cry, Melissa charged down the long promenade deck, dual-wielding the bottles like Lara Croft and her double pistols. She sprayed every person along the way. They stumbled and spun as if drunk. The lifeboats were suspended above the deck. Once they got under the closest one, Melissa charmed the crewwoman into handing Zack to Simon and operating the lifeboat. Simon supported Zack like Zack was an anime body pillow. Melissa kept spraying everyone who came near them as the woman cranked the lifeboat's rigging so it descended on two metal cranes. Simon dragged Zack aboard the boat. Melissa hopped in afterward, yanking out a bunch of thick metal pins from the boat's cranes. They'd clearly researched how the boats worked beforehand. The boat plunged toward the sea on thick wires. Just before they dropped out of range, Melissa reached up and sprayed the crewwoman in the face. The woman staggered out of view. Zack lay limp in a neon orange seat, thoughts racing.
What about Yaling?
He managed.
She wasn't supposed to come with us to Peng Lai anyway.
Simon settled into the lifeboat's control seat, studying the panels and switches around the steering wheel, like trying to figure out an alien spaceship. Lady Meng Jiang's newest host leaned over the edge of the deck, wailing into the night. The incessantly cawing seagulls crowded in the air above.
Is she supposed to have power over animals?
Melissa craned her head in alarm.
No?
Simon frowned.
Nothing about her legend involves that.
Then the birds flocked together in a pale mass and came at them. Simon and Melissa shrieked. They grabbed life jackets from beneath the seats to defend themselves. Some seagulls went for Zack's head. He couldn't move his arms to protect it, so he could only wheeze out a scream as pricks of pain exploded across his scalp in a storm of feathers, beaks, and claws. Melissa smacked the birds away by slapping a third life jacket over his face.
Come on, come on, come on, she chanted. Come back, emperors!
After a few more seconds of chaos in which the seagulls kept attacking the life jacket over Zack's face, and Melissa had to keep moving it back in place, red and white lights beamed at the edges of Zack's blocked view.
Finally, cried Wu Zetian.
Zack could hear the subtle difference between her tone and Melissa's by now.
Cover your eyes.
Zack squeezed his eyes shut as hard as he could. Even from behind the life jacket, a hint of light reached his eyelids as she set off her flash bomb power. The seagulls squawked louder, wings fluttering hectically. Some of their pecking eased off, but not all. The white light of Wu Zetian's spirit whip and the red light of Tang Taizong's arrows wavered as they kept fighting them off. The boat finally hit the water. There was the slithering noise of wires retracting. Then a whirring rumbled to life. Tang Taizong must have activated the motor. But Wu Zetian grabbed Zack's wrist.
There are too many. We need your water magic to go faster. Can you move yet?
No,
Zack croaked. She let out a frustrated growl. Then she shoved her arms under him and flipped him over the side of the boat. The shock of cold water was so intense, he could have been thrown into fire. It paralyzed his senses, his mind, his reality. His whole body charged up with a scream that escaped as a muted gush of bubbles. The taste of salt stabbed through his nose and mouth. Limbs useless and rigid, he sank like a stone. Water pressed against his eardrums like heavy bass from a speaker. Only the dimmest blue light seeped through the churning ocean surface, cut through by the shadows of the lifeboat and cruise ship. The distance between them widening rapidly. Vaguely, he saw a smattering of splashes as seagulls tried to dive after him, but they quickly flapped back out. Is this how I'm gonna die? He thought. The worst part was knowing that wherever his spirit would go, his mom wouldn't be there to welcome him with a hug. In 12 days, she'd never exist again. even though everyone else could eventually reunite with their moms. He would be the only boy without a mother in the afterlife. No. No, no, no! Zack couldn't let that happen. He became aware that his portal lens had ripped away, spiraling above him in a blur. Thank Jason Shen it was waterproof. He prayed for the strength to reach it again. His fingers twitched. His portal lens kindled with a ghostly light. Hope blazed through him. Summoning all his strength, he kicked and flexed upwards. It was like wading through concrete, but he could not fail. He could not let this be the end. Zack swung his arm up, fingers cutting through the currents, his hand closed around his portal lens. Qin Shi Huang's face appeared in his mind, his eyes flashed open, more intense than ever. Cold magic crashed through Zack, but it was nothing compared to the entire ocean already chilling him to the bone. He put the portal lens on. Water cycled around him, frothing up, picking up speed. Around and around, it built into a twister that pushed him toward the surface. The moment he broke through to the air, the biggest breath he'd ever taken poured to the bottom of his lungs. It strained his chest to its limits. Then he released a cry like a dragon's roar. It cut through the squawking of seagulls and the water whirling around him with the force of a hurricane. Howling winds whipped along the water wet like a rainstorm. Black chi meridians branded his arms, and he knew his eyes had gone deathly black as well. He must have looked terrifying. Good. The water soaking his clothes shivered away, leaving him dry in the eye of the storm. He felt a connection to the entire ocean. How it was ready to heed his command. Our people, the House of Ying, were once people of the East Sea. We originated on these shores. Wu Zetian and Tang Taizong gawked up at him from the lifeboat, forgetting to fend off the attacking seagulls. You threw me overboard! Zack roared at Wu Zetian, the twister continuing to churn around his legs. She lurched to her senses, swinging her spirit whip at the seagulls again. There was a bigger flock coming, kid. They would have torn you apart.
This isn't the time to bicker. We need to get away.
Tang Taizong loosed three spirit arrows in a row, hitting three different birds. They plummeted into the ocean. He winced at the recoil of pain that his arrows punished him with. Zack abruptly saw that their bodies, Simon's and Melissa's bodies, were covered in bleeding scratches and peck marks. Their clothes were torn. His heart softened. And so did the water storm he commanded. He propelled himself into a landing that rocked the boat. The emperors yelped from the salty splash that hit them. Then Zack swept the excess water away with a motion like parting curtains. The cruise ship had sailed ahead, leaving a foamy V-trail through the dark water. Zack didn't want to raise questions by catching up to it. The last thing he needed was to become a viral video. Facing the stern, he willed the sea itself to carry the boat away on an angle, throwing his hands back and pushing them forward over and over. It took a few seconds to get the hang of it. Then the boat lurched forth on a speeding bulge of water. The night winds raced through his hair. He kept one hand splayed in front of himself while repeating a pedaling motion with the other. Soon, they sped on too fast for the seagulls to catch up. Tang Taizong and Wu Zetian slumped down in the seats in front of Zack, groaning.
Ugh.
Qin Shi Huang appeared beside them, clutching his virtual head.
I swear, Meng Jiang keeps getting stronger every century. How is it that she can control birds now?
It's not her who's controlling them, Tang Taizong said. Can't you feel it? They're being possessed by the spirits of the laborers who died building the Great Wall.
Qin Shi Huang perked his head up as if to listen for something. Then his expression fell.
Oh, not the plot of the mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, but with birds instead of their resurrected corpses.
You actually watched that movie?
Wu Zetian gave him a dirty look.
I watch every movie about me.
Chen Shi Huang threw a hand up, as if stating the obvious.
Typical.
Tang Taizong rolled his eyes at Wu Zetian.
Typical.
She rolled them right back. Chen Shi Huang flashed his palm at them.
Speak to me when you've had major big-budget Hollywood movies inspired by you.
Didn't you lose in that movie?
Wu Zetian remarked.
I was played by Jet Li. It was worth it.
Anyway, I don't want to speak to you.
She spun away, hugging her chest.
You're the only reason those spirits attacked us. Taizong and I weren't tyrants, and we didn't bother with the Great Wall. The common people were happy under my rule. I worked hard to ensure that. Even the most sexist of historians can't deny it.
At least they can't chase us much further than this. Tang Taizong gazed back at the waters they passed.
Their spirits shouldn't be able to stray too far from the Great Wall.
Zack spoke up. Which general direction should I be going? His arms were getting tired, so he sat down and experimented with keeping up the speed while making smaller movements.
Right.
Tang Taizong scrolled to a card in his subordinate roster.
By the command of your emperor, arise, poet of legend, Li Bai.
The wind whooshed harder. Light streamed out of Tang Taizong's chest. In whimsical blooms, like red watercolor, a man spun out of it. He wore a flowing robe with many drooping folds and came out stroking his long beard. A sword hung on a loose belt around his waist. Li Bai, the sage of poetry, lived 701 to 762 CE, the most distinguished poet in Chinese history. Traveled all over China during the height of the Tang Dynasty, left thousands of poems that could make ghosts and gods weep, as attested by fellow poet Du Fu, famous for almost always being drunk and loving the moon a little too much.
Your Majesties,
Li Bai slurred, putting one fist to an open palm in some kind of traditional Chinese salute.
It's time to show us the way, Xiangsheng,
Tang Taizong said with a grateful nod.
Xiangsheng,
respectful title equivalent to Mr., Zack's portal lens explained.
That,
Li Bai swiveled his finger before pointing firmly,
that way.
Zack was a little concerned that Li Bai was giving directions while somehow spiritually drunk, but he had no choice but to adjust the boat's trajectory. Mythical island, here they come. Hopefully.